Amen. It's Sunday. Let's find a hymnal. Turn over to number 147, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Let's all stand together. This morning, gentlemen, let's have a word of prayer, please.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we're just grateful to be in your house this morning and the safety you've given all of us to be here, our health, our just being able to be upright. Lord, we just thank you for it. And stir our hearts now, Lord, as we give and that we give carefully, certainly, Lord. We want everything that's blessed here to be used to spread the gospel around the world. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Don't forget to, if you want your new missions booklets, to get your old one to me so we can transfer the stuff over for that. This week, we haven't heard from the Lopez family in a long time. They're usually about every 3 months they send us a letter. This one's very colorful. It's got a lot of information in it. Right now, they're on furlough. They're here in the U.S. on the East Coast. I don't guess they said they're coming around to us.
2 weeks.
Are they? Okay, so we'll get to see them. Excellent. Before the furlough, Pocky, which is the wife, she, her mom, and Joaquin had helped to establish a new church there in Spain. And you can see the missionaries in the photo, the young family that they helped set up the church. They renovated a storefront, and this was in Andalusia, which is the southern part of Spain. And they called the church a new light in deep, dark, spiritual country, especially, I guess, that part of Spain. Really strange area. For many, many, many years, it was under Islamic rule. Today, the religious expression there can be described maybe as very dramatic. There's a bloody religious history there. They've got art that's very tragic and haunted, this very pessimistic place. I don't think I want to go there. Haunting poetry, mysticism, where there's this vague belief that you have union with the deity through the occult and the supernatural. So all kind of strange stuff. And the Catholics are there too. They've got several rituals like Holy Week where they hood people. You know, they're hooded and they carry statues through the streets. So this is the area that just established this new church. I can see why they called it a new light. So hopefully we can pray for that church that it'll get established and it'll bring people around to the light of Christ. Let's see. Oh, by the way, and we probably know about this, in 1492, the Catholic monarchs of Spain took over. And they're the ones, of course, sent Columbus to the New World. On May 19th, then, they started their furlough. They got here to the United States, flew into Seattle. Apparently, they have about four churches in Washington State that they wanted to visit. So they rented a car. They did stay at a prophet chamber, if you recall what that is, in Cedro Woolley. That's in the northwest part of Washington, about a mile and a half north of Seattle. They fellowshiped with old friends. They met a new pastor. And they were asked to share the gospel with someone. This was a young Mexican man who one of the members had been witnessing to. But they thought, since the Lopezes are from Spain and they speak Spanish, we can have them help talk to this guy. Well, it turns out the guy came to Christ after they witnessed to him. So, very good, yeah. Then they went to a place called Chuela. That's in East Washington. They participated in the 25th anniversary of the church there. They got to meet the present pastor and also the ones that used to be there. Wait, that's a different church. Hold on. This family, the pastor, used to be missionaries to Mexico. So, of course, they enjoyed speaking to them in Spanish. They got to meet with many of the other people that are now going to that church. And they renewed their fellowship with a lot of them. Their final Sunday were at Galilee Baptist. This was on the coast. And then that evening, they flew back. We went back to Seattle, flew to Philadelphia, and that's how they got to the East Coast. So now they're going to be visiting us. That's going to be great. They also get to spend time with some of their family in Michigan and South Carolina. And they'll be heading back to Spain on August 25th. One sad thing. Pocky, the woman, her uncle, Martin Valcarcel, he passed away. And apparently this man was very big in the church. I think there's not a photo. Yeah, on the back side, there is a photo of Pocky and Joaquin with Uncle Martin and his wife. This man went to be with the Lord, him and his wife, for many years, impacted hundreds of people in Spain. They were church planters. They had a great camp ministry. And then they even came back to Alabama and worked with some Spanish people there, and Martin, the father or the husband, had a jail ministry there. I found this interesting. In the 70s, they said, by God's grace, Pocky and many family members were, they put, saved from Catholicism. I guess they came to a church that opens the Bible, and that's what always made a big difference to me. I was so glad that I came to this church, that you open the Bible, the source of all truth. And you'll be able to see that he also has a book that he wrote. It was called A Pilgrim Song. And I read a little bit of it from Amazon. It was really interesting reading. You might want to look into that. They also gave a link to the service, because apparently during the service there were lots of people. They were just telling all the things that these people had done for there. So very, very good. So sad to lose this man, but he's in heaven now with the Lord. They thank us, of course, for our prayers, our emails, our financial support, our love offerings. And tonight's trivia categories will be church, spirituality, and family. So read the letter, and more importantly, do come back tonight. Thank you.
Amen. I had met actually this past week at youth camp. Amen. We made it through youth camp. Praise the Lord for that. And it was a blessing. It was good preaching. It was a wonderful time, and excited. The teenagers stayed out of trouble the whole week. Mostly. No, just kidding. It was a great time, and glad to have that. But I met a family. First, they're kind of new to this area. They were missionaries in Spain. And I was talking to where I was sitting, where our church was sitting, right next across the aisle. There was a young man, and he was graduated and is going to Bible college. And I was talking to him a little bit and found out from his dad that they were missionaries in Spain. I said, yeah, you know, I was telling him about I got talked to him about it. I said, anyway, he loved it there. He said, you know, they had to, not sure why they came back, lost their visa or whatever the situation, which is usually a situation. No, I take it back. It wasn't that. They had finished, they had turned it over to a national. That's what it was. They had turned it over to the national and came back, and they're pastoring up at Jacksonville now. And so I was talking to the son, and I said, yeah, we have a missionary that's going to be with us here in a couple of weeks. The Lopez, he said, and he had mentioned their names. I said, yeah, that's him. He said, oh, I love them. He said, they are such a blessing. And so I was very encouraged. I was hoping he didn't say, oh. No, it was. And so he said he absolutely loved them. And so I was encouraged by that, and looking forward to, he said, they are such sweet people. He said, you're going to love them, you know. And so that's great. So what a blessing. What a blessing that was, and unexpected sometimes and at times. And so looking forward to them being with us here in just 2 weeks. In just 2 weeks, they'll be with us here. Okay, turn your hymnals once again over to number 191. In my heart there rings a melody. Yeah, let's all stand together. I have a song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from in heaven. Amen. Shake your hands with someone.
morning, everybody. It's an exciting week this week. The teens came back from camp, and they were all excited. We went and picked them up yesterday, and they were all excited. They talked for about, 15 minutes, and then they were all out. So we had a good time. That was including my wife decided to take a nap with them when they were on their way back. I was abandoned all alone, driving with nothing but my thoughts. I tried talking to Hayden. I was talking to him, having a conversation with him. And then I asked him another question within the span of probably 30 seconds. And I looked back in the rearview mirror. He had passed out mid-conversation. And okay, well, I guess I'll ask him later then. It's not that important. But anyways, the juniors get to go tomorrow, and we're excited we get to go with them. On the back table, there's more wristbands for the campers this week to pray for them. Can I tell you what a great idea that was? A constant reminder thinking about them. The Bible says pray without ceasing. And so it's a lot easier to do that when there's a reminder right there on your wrist. And the all the missing hair that used to be there, that's the constant reminder of praying for them. But no, it's great. If you're going with them, there's a side note to that. We're going to get blank bracelets so that we're not walking around having people call me Hazel or something like that, because that's the name that's on my wrist. Just as a reminder to the workers, to the people going. But it was a great idea. I actually had a friend of mine who saw on the Facebook post about it, and he said that that's a wonderful idea and that they're going to do the same thing. So it really was a good idea. So get a bracelet. Pray for the campers. Be a participant in their week, even though you're not there. Pray for them, that they have a good time, but most importantly, that they can learn more about their relationship with Christ and grow more in their spiritual side and have a good time while they're there. We have our creation conference coming up. There's a flyer in the back with the schedule that goes with it. Interesting things that they're going to talk about. And just this week, I had someone ask me, "Hey, you're a Christian. How old do you believe the earth is?" And I wish we would have had this 2 weeks ago so that I could have been better ready to have that conversation with them. But it was still, it's going to be an exciting time. We're going to learn a lot. So plan on being there. And those are the announcements. As I know, Pastor?
Amen. I do want to say with that creation conference, there's some invitations back there on the table there. And so it's a trifold pamphlet. That has, so does that have a schedule in there as well? Has a schedule in there, but also has a little bit of things. So take those and pass them out. This is really, everything we do is for our church, right? Almost everything we do is for our church. For us to be equipped for the work of the ministry, right? We equip the saints for the work of the ministry, which is getting the gospel to the world. And so, but this is something that we, and also other people that could come in and would come, and if there are people like that to say, how old is, like, I'll tell you what, you want to know about creation, this is where you come. And there may be some people that are interested in this. Some people just like facts. And this is a good time to get some of that and come. And so take those and pass them out. Sometimes people, you pass them out, they're not going to come. I find every time we invite somebody is kind of like our advertisement. And so what ends up happening is like, oh, that's interesting. And they're like, yeah, but they don't come. And then you give them something else. And like, oh, yeah, that's it. And then they don't come. And then down the road, they're like, you know what? I'm just, some reason I want to go to church, some reason. Like, we call that the Spirit of God drawing them. You know, Jesus said the Father will draw them. And then, you know where they're thinking about going? Probably to the place where the people keep inviting them. Right? So, I don't ever think about inviting people as it's a one-shot thing. I think we keep going, and sometimes, at some point, at least that's the way I like to think about it. Amen. So, I have here, this is my second one. The first one was yellow, and it turned white, and it ripped apart. I was sliding on water slides, and I think that's when it ripped loose. We had all kinds. I'll tell you what, I'm a little weary today. I think I'm fine until you get here and doing the things that you normally do, and all of a sudden you're like, man, it's a great time though. We had Friday, we call it extreme sports. I think something like that, extreme sports. We pushed vans and we had a drag race. The kids are pushing vans. We had a race. And so I would, with the boys, they divide them into three groups, and I was running with each group, and kind of I was at the back to encourage the ones that are at the back and encourage them, you know, staying with them. And I did that all three times. It's not a huge thing. And then when we're done, I'm like, okay, I did that. I didn't embarrass myself. And then they said, okay, now all the counselors are going to run. And I thought, man, I would have saved all my energy, which still wouldn't have helped me. Still wouldn't have helped me, but it was a race. I'm not really a racer. I'm at the back of the crowd, just not stopping mostly. There's one guy, one of these, a big kid. He's a big kid. He's a big boy, and he's, you know, big. I mean, he was big. I mean, just a big kid. He ran it. And he got to slow and just encourage, because you get down. I mean, he was about to pass out. I mean, Leighton was killing. I think he got second place in his group, and he was about to pass out afterwards. I mean, you know, everybody. And then, but this kid, you're proud of him, encouraging him. And so after that, they said, okay, now the counselors are racing. I'm not really a fast guy, and I said, is this going to be broken down by age? I have actually won 2 5K races for my age group. In the first one, I got second place, and there were three of us. But I seen one older guy, and I'm like, I'm just going to beat him, and I did. And so I got second. We did one in Orlando just a couple months ago. I got first place. First of three. And the other guys, like one took them an hour and a half, but it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. So I thought, but they didn't give me any points for age group. I was a little bit proud, if I'd say this. There was a 19-year-old Air Force guy there, and he won it. I said, thank you for representing. Because if he'd have lost, it'd have brought shame on all of us. You know what I mean? So I was glad that he won. Anyway, it was a good time. And so we have back there. Teenagers need prayer. Amen. Teenagers need prayer, and we are living in a challenging day. But where it's the darkest, the light shines the brightest. So they're living in a challenging day, but they've got probably the greatest opportunity to make a difference, right? And so juniors are no different, except for they're younger, so that's quite a bit different. But they've got some challenges that they're dealing with, and they're going to have the younger age is going to have challenges that you and I never could have even imagined, and it is overwhelming sometimes. And I realize we had a preacher's contest out there. They have a preacher's contest, and I was judging it, and one of the judges, and I was tracking the whole thing. And some of these kids, 13-year-old kids, the things that they're talking about. One of the other ladies, she said, okay, my son heard things that, you know, I hadn't quite talked about those things yet at home. And this was a 13-year-old boy who was saying some of these things. And you just think, wow, what our world is today. It's different. But that's what they live in. You know, we could put them in a bubble and hide them from it, but they're eventually going to get out there to it. So this prayer thing is important. And I think maybe it'll do two things. It'll teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And but there's some things on here. You're like, I'm not sure what to say. How to pray. What to pray. Well, pray for them by name. And that's why we got names on them back there. And take one of those, or maybe two. If you let everybody get one first. Last week we ran out of them, and there were some people looking for them. Amen. I'm glad for that. If some of y'all are already like, Miss Cheryl's like, oh, I'm hiding because I took two. That's okay. Amen. I'm glad you did. I appreciate it. So I'm not. Amen. Pray that they have open hearts. We can't pray them to truth. But we could ask God to give them an open heart, do something in their life that will open their heart and their ears to what the Lord has to say. And then pray that they make a decision for Christ. Sometimes we can't pray people to do something, but we're praying that God would do something in their life. Because what we're asking God to do something, we're not asking them to do something, right? We're asking God to do something in their life. Pray for them as they leave camp, that they would take their zeal for the Lord with them into their life every day. So we're still, we prayed that for the teens, but why are you doing it? Continue praying for the teens. They're now back. And sometimes when you get back is when it really gets to live out. You know, there are so many decisions made at camp. I think there's 320 people there all together. I think 260, 280 teenagers. Tons of decisions. I mean, the altars are full every night, and it's unbelievable. I mean, but it's easy to make a decision in that environment. When you come home, that's where it's. So pray for that, and we pray that they would be led to salvation, baptism, or whatever their next faith step may be. And as I mentioned, I'm going to mention it probably this morning too, but we often talk about praying for salvation, pray that they get saved. And really what we're praying is we're praying that they would receive Christ as their Savior. When we receive Christ as our Savior, we're saved from the penalty of our sin. So we say they got saved, but really what we're saying is they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And what you get from that is a whole list of stuff. Not just salvation in heaven one day. There's more than that. It's right. So, but maybe they've done that. There's the next step, baptism, and there's maybe the next step is. Faithfulness or some decisions or reading the Bible or whatever, praying out loud. I don't know what it is. Maybe their decision is, I like to challenge, teenagers to go up and say hi to somebody. You're like, was that a step of faith? Yeah, that's whatever it is. So pray for those things. We got that list back there. Take one of those if you need that. And so our van died. I don't know if you heard, those that weren't here, the engine. The motor died out. So they were about halfway, and they clunked it all in. They clunked it in, and about the time it literally gave up its last breath, they coasted in and put it on the grass right outside the boys' dorm. Now, a little bit later, we were able to get it going again, and I drove it over to got it over to the shop, and he said, well, it sounded like it might just be an exhaust problem. That would be awesome. I knew it wasn't, but the sound of it was, it's probably some compression and some things in there, but I said, that would be great. Just put some exhaust tape and we're good. Yeah, I knew it was. That would have been awesome, but it's, he checked these something, so we're going to try to arrange for it to be brought back next week, and we'll figure out what the next step is. But praise the Lord. Brother Eddie and Miss Christy came up. I mean, he was fully energized coming up. I think he had an hour and a half. And so appreciate them coming, and we were able to have enough. My wife came up with the truck, and we loaded all the suitcases in there, and the rest of the back, we got back, amen. And I think we have most of the stuff. And so, praise the Lord. My wife's been spending, all of my family, Katie and Kayla are going to go back and help cook again. So the bulletin has a couple problems. There's words through my picture. I've seen a couple things. We still have a choir special in here. We're not doing a choir special. Listen, these girls working the whole time, and then we got back here and the printer didn't want to print, and you're like, what's going on? And Katie was about that close to a meltdown, and I said, listen, if we don't get the bulletin printed, we're gonna be all right. Yeah. All right, we did get it printed, but amen. Amen. Hey, sometimes we have weeks of ministry where weeks of ministry comes before all the extra things we do. Amen. And so we're going to do that again. What they fed about 1,000 meals a day up there, and these girls and Kara, I don't know where she's back there. She's in the kitchen helping. I went and I did a little bit better than get in their way. I kind of helped a little bit, but so if you help in the kitchen, you get a little bennies of. Yeah. So I did help a little bit there, and I love it. I love it. I'm not in my 20s anymore, and I could feel that, but I love it up there. So this week's going to be awesome. This week's about half as many, so but there's about half as much help too. So we're going to go there. We're going to be leaving. We rented a van. We're going to get a van. I'm going to go this afternoon and go pick it up in Orlando, and we're going to get there. We have to, you know, sometimes things come. Sometimes monkey wrenches get thrown into something, right? Like, why has it got to be a monkey wrench? I don't know. That's just how the saying goes. And so, but it's when things don't go. I like everything to go my way all the time. No problems. I say that often. And then I often say, but he often doesn't, right? And so that's the way it goes. But by the grace of God, we're going to see what he will do for us and through us and with us. And we're excited to see. I don't like problems. I want to like problems. I want to take joy in tribulation. I'm working on that. I really don't like them. But Paul said that, and the Bible tells us that, so I know I'm supposed to. So when they come at the moment, it's like, but I have learned, right? I have learned that whatsoever state we're in, to be content. I have learned that. And the more I've gone, the more I say, listen, things are going. God, you know, God has a plan. Right, and we'll trust him what it is, and sometimes you're up to here, it and then all of a sudden you found there's a rock you step up on, and you're like, okay, I'm okay, right? And God puts that rock there, prepared a rock to get us out of the water, right? If he could prepare a fish, right? If he could prepare a fish in the middle of the ocean or the sea to say, Jonah, he can do whatever. So I want to, this morning, Hayden would like to give a testimony. And so I didn't ask him. Sometimes I'll say, hey, you know, I want to give, if anybody, he came up to me, he said, Pastor, could I give a testimony either tonight or this morning or tonight? And I said, no, we ain't got time for that. I didn't say that. And so I want him to come on up here now.
Morning, everybody. Hope everybody's having a good morning. I just want to say about the food. They did amazing. And I'm going to admit, I'm a very picky eater. And I did not have one bad meal there. Everything was phenomenal. What I want to talk about this morning is what God talked about to my heart at camp. I just want to say this week was amazing. Best July I've had in my existence of living. It was amazing. But the first thing I want to talk about that God talked about in my heart was learning how to pray. But I don't know if any of you heard of Brother Jim Shetler, but he is one of, if not the best preacher I've ever heard. But he talked about three things to never do in prayer. To speak in prayer, hazy, don't speak hazy prayers, don't speak crazy prayers, and don't speak lazy prayers. If you want to speak to God, make sure to be specific about it. The Lord knows what's in your heart. And the second thing he talked in my heart about was about handing over my will to God, about things that we hold on to let God have it. And he made plenty of examples about sometimes when you let stuff go, like let's say sports, video games, those type of things, sometimes the Lord will bring it back to you, but sometimes he won't. But even if he doesn't bring it back to you, God has a plan for you. And the last thing I would like to talk about is this really talked about in my heart was about being all in for God, about surrendering your life to Him and being prepared and ready for whatever God has for you. And he talked about how there is people that go out and serve him, missionaries, about the missions. And he talked about how those numbers are dwindling today. And he talked about how we are, the group of people at camp are the next era to be ready for that. And every time he said the word ministry, talked about the ministry or people that go and serve him, I feel like he kept tugging at my heart about it. And I feel like God might be trying to call me into the ministry. But I'm going to continue to pray and talk to Pastor and Brother John about it. And I may not know what's going to come next, but I do know one thing. It's going to be great because it's going to be from God.
Amen. Amen. I'm not sure if Hayden could do that or not. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's what happens when we... let's turn over to number 270. 270, let's all stand. Church will bring. Amen. I'm excited for excited to see. You know, I think one of the most exciting things of ministry is watching, getting the opportunity to invest in people, and then watching them receive that and do something themselves. Amen? I mean, there's nothing, I mean, you know, it's one thing to do stuff, you know, God teaches you something and do it. Amen? Amen. That's exciting. God's going to show us something and teach something. We're going to do it in our life. And it's a thrill to see God work in our own lives. It is. Amen? Okay, I was sitting, my son is still there. I'm going to. It's exciting when God does that and you're like, wow, and God becomes real to us. But when we then live out and begin to invest in someone else, and they do something unexpected, right? And they do something, you know what? Sometimes we can actually think, and I'm just saying, we can actually think that I really did something when it's me. But when God does something in somebody else's life, you're like, wow, that's God. You know, we really see it. It's exciting. I want to talk this morning, preach a message on faith to receive. Acts chapter, do you remember Acts chapter 14? We had there last week, a couple weeks ago. It was just last Saturday that we had a wedding. It seems like weeks ago to me. I was at camp and I was saying, yeah, my one daughter and son, they got married in May. My other daughter got married Saturday. I mean, a day at camp feels like a lot of time. And you're like, man, that was just last week. Wow. It's been a whirlwind. Amen. And so there was that. And so a couple weeks ago, we were there and we had seen Paul and Barnabas. There, they were in Iconium. And look at verse, chapter 14 and verse 5. The Bible says, one man, that is not that. I'm in Romans. That is not, I was like, that is going to be weird. Acts chapter 14, verse 5. It felt like it was on the wrong place in the page. Because when you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I thought it was over there, but you know, it's... you never know what's happening here. But chapter 14, verse 5, how about there? And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles, also of the Jews, with the rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. So we find them there. They had preached the gospel there. Some believed. And some opposed, right, as we see here. And the city was divided, right? There was some that were with the apostles and some that were with the Jews that opposed them. And the opposition became dangerous. And so they departed Lystra and Derbe. And so when we come into Lystra, we're not going to find a synagogue as mentioned. The ministry shifts from larger cities to smaller, more rural towns, and from a Jewish setting to a more Gentile and pagan setting. Okay? We're going to find the scene is shifting completely. You know what we find? I think what we find here? The gospel is needed everywhere. Right? A lot of people some people when they think about it, and there's a lot of ministries that focus on large, big cities where the mass of people are. You go into a city that has, you know, a half a million or a million people, you start a church in that place, or you're there, just by the nature of the numbers, you see a lot of folks coming, right? You can see, you go in these towns. You go into rural towns, smaller towns, and by the nature of the lack of people, it's going to be, we were in Omaha, Nebraska, a town of, I think it's about 500,000 in the greater Omaha, I think, greater Omaha. I can't remember. It's been a long time. A lot of people, but it's spread out. Feels like there's, but, you know, it's, and it's growing. And so we were there, and you can't reach that whole city. A church can't reach that whole area. It's just too massive. It's just, you know, unless you just can't, but not by knocking on doors, that type of thing. And so God had burdened our hearts to start a church. And so we went from there to a metropolis of 3,200 people, right? Started a church in a town of 3,200 people with no Baptist church in the whole county. Now, there's 100 counties in Iowa, but in that whole county, there's no Baptist church. And so can I tell you, the ministry was different. How you talk to people was different. And in Omaha, when we would go knocking on doors, I think in the thousands of doors we knocked on, I can remember one person ever coming out to church from knocking on their door. Right? In Iowa, small town Iowa, every person that ever visited our church was a result of us knocking on their door or sending something to their home personally. It's just different, right? It's different. And so when we resigned and turned over the church to go to the mission field, the fellow I turned, you know, there was the pastor that became the pastor after me. I said, listen, brother, this is probably never going to be a full-time ministry. Small town Iowa. I'm not saying could, but probably never going to be a full-time ministry. There's always going to be, it's a small town. It's a different kind of ministry, right? And it's a challenging. And that pastor came to me, he's been there 20 years now. He came to me about 10 years ago. He said, brother, I said, I don't think I've done well. He said, you know, we're still, it's been 10 years and here it's still about, you know. And I said, brother, you're doing exactly what it's supposed to be. You just keep preaching, keep there. And God blessed him with the building. Just an amazing story. God has blessed them with some people to help them to refurnish that. You know, I mean, just God has a lighthouse there in a dark part of our nation. And God's used him to reach out from there and be a blessing to other people. And that's who's going to be coming in August to preach our creation conference, is that fella. And so I'm excited for that. I just want to say there's different places. Everywhere needs the gospel. And we may not get the notoriety. Pastor Matt Sperling isn't known around the world. People are like, wow. No, he's in a corner somewhere. You understand? You know, people know the Hewitt family because we've been to hundreds and hundreds of churches. And people say, yeah, I know you're the Hewitts. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know you. You know, I don't say that. I said, oh, good to see you. You know, like, you got to pretend because I forget your names. You know, just kidding. But what'll happen is the gospel needs to be everywhere. The gospel doesn't choose its location by the size of the crowd. Sometimes what we want to focus on is how small our church is. There's people that have 15 in their church and they would love to see this crowd. And they'd come in, man, you're so blessed, man. You got all these people coming. Amen. The church of 15, there's a church that has only their family. And maybe one other person showing up on Sunday that would love to have 15. I asked God when we started there in Iowa, I just prayed. I said, God, would you just always give us someone extra than our family? I said, God, my family, I preach to them all the time already. I do that at home. I said, I'm telling you, the whole time I was there, there was always at least one person. Sometimes there was only one person. Sometimes there's one. We had two often. But I thought, man, it's just, the guy was always give 20 extra people. I said, you know, be specific. No, I didn't want to be greedy, but I just want to be, you know. And so our goal is to see how big a church we can be. Our goal is to worship the Lord, give Him the glory, and keep getting the light out to those around us. Okay? Both here and across the world. That's the commission. And so sometimes it's, we're getting the light out to our people, our family, our friends, those around. And so so the gospel doesn't choose based on the size of the crowd or the prominence of the city. So the account of Lystra in the book of Acts, though, it's going to center around the life of one helpless man that mattered to God. It's really quite amazing. If you find there, you're in your place, I want you to stand. You're like, why? We didn't stand yet. I know. I want you to stand as we get into it, because if we don't, y'all feel like something went wrong. You forgot about that, Pastor. No, I'm with you. I'm with you. I want to get a little intro. Y'all stood for a little while, set. So we're going to, sometimes we feel like we need a little bar to put down, put our knees on. No, I want to get this here. Verse 8. It says, and there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Let's pray together this morning. Our Father, we're thankful, Lord, for this time to be gathered together in your house, to be gathered around your word. Lord, I pray that you would you bless, would you lead, guide, and direct, and we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. I've been good. I was not switched off yet till now. All right. Point number one is this, the new field of ministry. So we find that the environment's changed. From synagogues in Antioch to in Iconium to the street in Lystra. And so so we find here, as I mentioned already, there's more of a Gentile pagan setting in Lystra than the religious Jewish settings that's previously been done, where they go in and there's synagogues and they go as they were wont to go into the synagogue and they did this kind of thing. Yet the mode, the method and mode of ministry is still the same. Paul and Barnabas still preach the gospel. We find there in verse 7, and there they preach the gospel. That's what they did. The gospel has moved from the synagogue to the street. What a great thought for us is the gospel isn't to stay in here. Can I say this here to you folks? I want us to maybe understand something. This here isn't an evangelistic place. Stay with me. This isn't the place where we are primarily evangelistic. This is the place where we are primarily equipping the saints for the work of going and being evangelistic. You say, so somebody can't come in here and get saved? The people absolutely come in here and trust Christ. But we're primarily here equipping us for that work, and somebody in the midst of getting equipped, somebody else said, man, I never received that. That's what I'm looking for, right? And that's what happened to me. Right, and that happens to others. And so we find this. So it moved from those who knew the scriptures to those who looked to idols for divine power. Nevertheless, the gospel message did not change. Point two. You're like, man, we're moving quick. Yeah. Point number two, the helpless man. Look at verse 8 again. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. Okay, we find this man. The scripture now draws our attention to this one fella in Lystra. It becomes this place. He was impotent in his feet. He was a cripple since birth. Never walked. Never walked in his life. So this wasn't some
passing weakness. It wasn't an injury that he had gotten. This is it was not a temporary situation, but a lifelong condition. And you know, he had no power to change it himself. Nothing he could do about it. You think he'd have liked to walk? You think as he watched all the other people walk by, he'd say, "Man, I wish I could walk like them." Maybe every day. As he sit there and ask people, it's all, what else could he do? What else could he do? There's no welfare, Social Security, disability, well, none of that. He could not strengthen himself, he could not raise himself, and he could not fix himself. Before we're going to see the power of God in Lystra, the Scripture gives us first this picture of the inability of man. Through this man's physical condition, we see a picture of man's spiritual condition. Right? We could see our situation. Listen, man is not merely spiritually weak. Okay? We're not just spiritually weak. We are spiritually powerless. We're spiritually powerless apart from the grace and the power of God. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot raise ourselves. And we cannot make ourselves whole. We can't do it. I'm just going to try harder. I'm going to try harder and harder and harder. Do you think that that crippled man, you think he could say one day, you know, I think I'm just going to make my legs work anyway. I don't care if they're not working. I'm just going to stand up and start walking. Come on. It doesn't work like that. You know, for all of our thought, we can't add anything to our stature. Right? It's not something we can wish it. This man, that day, did not need advice. Hey, what do you think would be the best way for me to beg to get a little bit more? Could you give me like a 3-point outline on that? Right? I don't think he was up there doing that. He said, hey, how do you think, you know, in this day and age of being in my feelings, that's what people say, that's what the kids say today. You know, they're in their feelings. I'm not exactly sure what it means, actually, but I think it means something like they're more emotional than they ought to be. Does that sound about right, anybody? Yeah, okay. These girls know. They know stuff about the lingo. So in this day and age of people being so tender and all this kind of stuff, you know, we want, you know, could you just tell me, gently tell me how I can, you know, I don't really want you to, like, tell me what I need. I want you to just help me live the life that I want to live, but better. Right? Can I tell you, this man didn't need advice. He needed the power of God in his life. And folks, here's the thing. Every sinner stands before God that way. Every one of us stands before God needing... Listen, we don't need it. They don't need some advice to help them live their life better. We need the power of God in our lives because we're not just weak in it. If I could just be strengthened a little bit. No. We're powerless. We need something more from God than just some advice how to live it a little bit better. We need the power of God. The gospel is not a self-improvement guide. The gospel doesn't... This is the challenge, folks. This is the challenge. Okay, here's the thing. It's not like, hey, I've been really depressed. How can you help me to be, can you give me some advice how to not be depressed? Yeah. I got some. Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Yeah, but then what? Oh, you don't need the then what. He'll do the then what. Okay, well, how do I make more friends? We got a problem with, I'm telling you, we got a problem with kids. We are in a generation of these children today. They don't know how to make friends. Now, they can make electronic friends. I mean, it may be a, you know, 64-year-old man pretending to be 12. right? Does that happen? It happens. All over. Constantly finding this out. Thankfully, a lot of them, the ones we find, they're cops portraying and trying out some of these people, trying to do some of this stuff. I'm telling you, how do you make a friend? Well, we just, you know, I don't know. We'll just stare at each other. Maybe some. I mean, we're living a day. You know, how do you do that? Well, you know, put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and He'll give you the power to be what you need to be. All you ever want to do is talk about the gospel. Now, I wish people would say that about me. Sarah, is that a compliment or insult? I'm not sure where you're going with that. Amen. If somebody said, man, all you ever want to do is talk about Jesus Christ. You ever had anybody say stuff like that? It's like, man, amen. I know what you mean that, but I'm going to pop my suspenders on that one. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not saying people say like that all the time, but that would be awesome. You know, and so there's this kind of thing. The power isn't some advice. That's not what the world needs. There needs some advice. This is what's tough. People want to give me an answer how to get through. You know, how can my kids be like your kids? How can this be like you? And how can I? Man, it's just, it's not, I mean, this isn't crazy. This isn't a lot of work. Matter of fact, work won't even get you there. It's the power of God. They don't need advice on that. It's the power of God unto salvation for the helpless man. Point number three. Amen. Okay, here's where it's all at. This is point number three. The faith to receive. Okay, look at verse 9. The same heard Paul speak. Okay? All right. This impotent man heard Paul speak. Right? That's the important part to notice here. I don't want us to miss that for sure. He wasn't responding to superstition. Remember, we're in a pagan Gentile area. He wasn't responding to superstition. Like, why do you say that? We'll see that next week when we get into the further on down. This is a very superstitious area. Okay, and we're going to get to that. Not today though. He wasn't responding to superstition. He wasn't responding to family history. My family's always done this. We've always been this religion. We've always been this faith. We've always done this. He wasn't responding to that. He wasn't responding to some preconceived ideas of what God is or what God ought to be. He was not responding to anything that was already in him. You get that this morning? Y'all with me? All right. Nor was he chasing after miracle cures. He'd been like this his whole life. Can you imagine? You think this man was thinking about being healed? No way. He wasn't sitting there saying, hey, could you heal me? No, he probably lost all hope. Do you know how many people live in this world without hope? You know what they'll say? Something like this. I've tried that. I've tried religion. It didn't do anything for me. You ever heard anybody say something like that? I've tried that. It didn't do anything for me. Or the other side is like, no, I'm just going to keep doing what I've been doing and hope it all works out at the end. I've heard people say stuff like that too. Still no hope. Still no hope. But this fellow, he wasn't looking for a cure. He wasn't looking for some miracle cure that day. But he was hearing the word preached. What ended up happening is he was hearing the word preached. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says this. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the... Yeah, y'all know that one. That's a good verse. You know why you all know it? Because it's a good verse to memorize. Right? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So faith comes by the Word of God. Right? And if you will... just keep a Bible under your arm, you'll have faith. Now, if you put it in your pocket, right? No, it really takes this thing. Matter of fact, if you just get close to it, you know, people can sit in church and not hear it. They're terrible people. They are terrible people. We sit in church and don't hear it. Just worthless kind of humanity, right? No. Sometimes all those other things are preconceived ideas, our family histories, our own superstitions, our own thinking keeps us from hearing it. We got that wall up there and say, some people say, I'm not gonna believe that. I'm not gonna surrender. I'm not gonna surrender I have fought too hard to keep believing what I believe in. You know how many times I've had to resist the gospel to keep believing? I'm not gonna do that today and lose. You mean win? Anyway. So we find this faith cometh by hearing by the word of God. He was listening. There's an interesting phrase I want us to draw to notice here in the scriptures that gives us, we find here what was happening there when the gospel was preached and heard. It's really a fascinating thing. Look again at verse 9. He said, the same, talking about the crippled man, heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, okay, now that's Paul is the one that steadfastly beheld the crippled man. Sometimes the grammar in this can be hard, like who's the he and they and them, right? So we have the crippled man heard Paul speak, who Paul beholding him, the crippled man. Okay, that's how it went, and perceived that he, the crippled man, had faith to be healed. Now watch this. Let me say that again. The last part. And perceived that he had faith to be healed. What an interesting phrase. I think I've read through this many times. I never really caught that. Really, what's going on here? Paul perceived that this crippled man had the faith to be healed. Now, I'm just saying here on that, what an amazing ability that was given to the Apostle Paul. Okay, I wish that's something I had. I wish I could look out and just be like, okay, they're listening. Forget that side. Right? Yeah, they ain't listening. They don't have faith to believe, to be healed. There's somebody over here, and then you're like, nope, it's over here, right here. And so these are man, I'm just right here, And the rest are like, that's cool, because you're not looking at me, and I don't feel bad about it. And I don't, though. I don't have that. I wish I had that. Oh, I wish I had that. I sometimes think that, sometimes I think someone's really listening. They're there. I mean, they're there. And they're nodding. But they've just learned, if I nod, pastor will quit saying amen, right? I'm they're listening. Sometimes I'm just talking about somebody personally I'm talking to. They're listening. They're ready to trust Christ, man. It's exciting. They're very close to putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It's there. But then they delay. I'm like, man, they want it. And then they walk away. And then they don't repent and call on the Lord by faith. They don't take the next step. And I thought, man, I thought they were so bad. You ever said that? Man, they're so close to trusting Christ. You ever said that about something? Man, they're so close. So close. Man, I've been there so many times. And you kind of get a little giddy, right? Because you're like, oh, they're close. They're listening. And then they just one day, they're gone. And they're not in. I don't mean they're gone from church. Sometimes they're gone from your life. Sometimes they're gone from the conversation. You go back to talk to them. I can remember this one girl, she was so tuned in. The next time I went and talked to her, it is like the switch turned off. Zero interest. And I see this with people, you're thinking, man, they're so ready. They're there. I wished. Then there's other times when I think somebody is completely disinterested. And then at the invitation, they come forward and make a decision for Christ. It's so frustrating. So frustrating. I want to know. Would you? No. I just want to know, because I want it to be easier for me, because then I could just get the little corner, the little wedge. Forget you people, right? Right? You know what I'm saying? Okay, maybe next week it's this wedge. I don't know, you know, time to time. Listen, what Paul had was quite different. He perceived that this man had faith to be healed. God had given him an ability. He's an apostle. This the apostolic era was different from the rest of history. It was just different. God was doing some things with him. I do want to say here, though. I do want to say here, he didn't have the power to heal. Let's look at that again, verse. And the same heard Paul, and Paul perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Listen, this man didn't have the power to be healed. He had the faith to be healed, which is what the Scripture says here. God is the power. He is the healer. I see somebody here. I could feel like in this room this morning, there's somebody that God's going to heal. I'm going to come up here and let me lay hands on him. You know, I'm being a little funny, right? Let me lay hands on him and do all that. You know, when somebody kind of wants to, I'm going to come lay hands on you and heal you. Who does that look like the power is in? Looks like it's in me. If you come to our healing service, we're gonna heal you. Matter of fact, whether you have the faith or not, and then they'll say something about it. Who just told that story? I'm trying to remember where I was at. Somebody just told the story about my mind is about the. You told the story, but Eddie told the story about the fellow that went through with the faith. The faith healer said, if you just give a seed gift, right? He talked about it twice. I'm like, where did I hear that from? I've heard a lot of preaching recently. And so it was here. It was right here. And he said, this fellow said, if you give this, and this skeptic said, I'll just follow through with it. If you give this amount, and then he gave that amount, and then he gave the next amount, it ended up being about $500. And he got, you know, they sent a seed gift back of like $1 over, it was about $5, you know. And it was just kind of a con job, really. And that man, what the Scripture is saying here isn't that he had the power to heal himself. He said he believed, right? And that he perceived that he had the faith to be healed. Now, listen, faith is the open door through which the power of God is received. See, it's not our power, it's His power, but faith in Him is the doorway to receive it. Faith does not command or control God. God, I said I believe in you, so now you've got to do it. It doesn't work like that. Let's don't misunderstand that thing. Nor does faith guarantee healing. Y'all with me with that this morning? Don't sit here and think, well, I believed and God didn't answer, so something was wrong. No, listen, just because we believe doesn't mean we don't get to say, because I believe I get to have it. God knows better than you. He certainly knows better than me. Because I want everything to go my way all the time. And I want, as soon as anything, anybody in my people gets... I'm telling you, I promise you, there's been times I knew God was going to heal this time. I knew it. I just knew it. And He didn't. And when He didn't, I said, God, I don't believe you anymore. No. No, but I just so badly. It just, God. And God isn't bent by my prayer. I mean, God isn't... I'm not saying God doesn't respond because of prayer, because I think He does. I think God does respond. But just because I have faith, it's not a guarantee. So I want to say that here. Just because I have faith isn't a guarantee. But I'm telling you, it is the door. It is the doorway for that thing to come through. Faith is the position or the posture or the place of receiving from God. That's God wants to give. God wants us. He wants to get the glory. Rarely do we find healing in the Scripture where faith is absent. We're going to do something a little bit different this morning than what I normally do. But I want you, if you got one of these strings, hold your place there. We're going to come back to it. But I want us to, we're going to, we're going to take a journey. Y'all ready? We're going to take a journey through the Scriptures. I want us to see some of these things. And if you can't, you maybe just want to write them down. Maybe we're going to, but I'm going to turn there. I'm going to try to get, we got a lot here. So I want to turn there. I want you to see this. Because I want us to see this. Because this is the pattern we're going to find. So, first of all, sometimes it's the faith of the afflicted person that causes. So, Matthew chapter 9 and in verse 20. Matthew 9, verse 20. Bible says, "And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, 'If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole.' But Jesus turned about him, and when he saw her, he said, 'Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy hath made thee whole.' And from that, and the woman was made whole from that hour." Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. It could be in verse 46. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' The blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." Luke chapter 17. Luke 17, verse 11. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priests.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Where were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, 'Arise, go thy way, thy hath made thee whole.'" Sometimes it's the faith of the afflicted that brings healing. But second, sometimes it's the faith of those who bring the afflicted. Look back at Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. Matthew 8, verse 5. The Bible says, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, 'Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented.' And Jesus saith unto him, 'I will come and heal him.' The centurion answered and said, 'Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh. And to my servants, Do this, and he doeth it.' When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast away into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And Jesus said unto the centurion, "Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee." And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Listen, because of his faith, the one was healed that he was bringing to Jesus. Matthew 15 and verse 22. "Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil.' But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, 'Send her away, for she crieth after us.' But he answered and said, 'I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' Then came she and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' But he answered and said, 'It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs.' And she said, 'Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table.' Then Jesus answered and said unto her, 'O woman, great is thy Be it unto thee even as thou wilt.' And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2 and verse 3. You know, we got to cover this one. "And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." I'm telling you, folks, it's amazing what we see this here. One more. John chapter 4. It's amazing to see how faith interacts with healing. John chapter 4, verse 46. "So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, 'Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe.' The nobleman said unto him, 'Sir, come down ere my child die.' Jesus saith unto him, 'Go thy way, thy son liveth.' And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, 'Thy son liveth.' Then inquired he of them the hour which he began to amend. And they said unto him, 'Yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him.' So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus saith unto him, 'Thy son liveth,' and himself believed. And his... Sometimes it's the faith of those who bring the afflicted or go for the afflicted. Third thing, sometimes it's the faith of the servant of God acting upon God's authority. Look at Acts chapter 3 now. Acts chapter 3, verse 6. "Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' Verse 16. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 and verse 32. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Annas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Annas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he rose immediately. And all that dwelt of Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. Listen, folks, sometimes it's the faith of the one bringing it on the authority of God. Acts chapter 9, look at verse 36 now. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. Whom when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper chamber. For as much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring that he would not delay to come to them. And then Peter rose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, and kneeling down and prayed, and turning to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. She opened up her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Listen, folks, I want us to see that there is a role that what Paul saw in this crippled man, he discerned that there was faith to believe. Listen, I don't want us to turn this into a guarantee of healing. It's not a guarantee that if you believe, you're going to be healed. Amen? Don't get there. That'll disappoint you greatly. God is not going to get his arm twisted by us. Paul prayed for his thorn to be removed. Said, I have a thorn in the flesh. He prayed thrice. But God gave him sustaining grace instead. Amen? But faith is clearly important in receiving from God. Unbelief is never the pathway that brings a man closer to the help of God. Okay, back in chapter 14, verse 9. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. When Paul said, stand up on thy feet, the man leaped and walked. Could you imagine? You ever seen a baby just one day they're laying in the crib, the next day they're up and running around? It takes a little time, doesn't it? The power of God is not like normal. But you know what happened to that man? His faith became visible in obedience. I want you to grab this. We're about to wrap it up. Amen? You're like, I hope so. Okay. His faith that he had. Now, Paul perceived it, but it became visible in his obedience. Faith that came from hearing the word became faith that responded to the command. Now, listen, folks. Let's don't talk about our faith and not respond. No, I believe that, Pastor. I believe it. Well, why would we say we believe it? I don't want to get into that. I'm going to spend too much time if I go down that road again. Faith does respond. It's not a choice to say, well, I do believe, I'm just not ready to do that yet. Well, then you haven't really believed, and just accept that for yourself. Here's a conclusion this morning. Number one, This isn't a message about healing. This isn't a message about healing. It's a message about faith. What's going on here wasn't about the healing. Healing to God is, wow, Jesus healed people. Yeah, okay, He's God. He created people too, out of nothing. So to heal what He created from nothing, not a big deal. He raised people from the dead. Good night. He raised Himself from the dead. Healing is not that's not the big deal with God. You know what the big deal with God is? Our faith. Isn't it amazing? Wow. You know what just struck me? We can do what God can't do. God doesn't need faith. He knows everything. We are the ones that give Him faith. Faith in Him. We can give God what He's waiting to get from you and I. It's for us to believe Him. What an amazing thing. So, I believe God. Stop with that. Stop with I believe God. If you do, and I believe many of us do. But something holds us from this. Listen, this is about faith. A helpless man who set in his ability heard the word of the gospel and faith came by his hearing. Second thing. Then, when the command came to follow, he responded to it. Faith is the door of receiving what God so desires to give us. And I want to say this right here. There isn't another door of receiving from God that we can enter into. No. Sometimes God just gives us stuff. Amen. I'm glad God doesn't just give me what I trust Him for. Amen? Yeah. If God only gave me what I trust Him for, we'd be of all men most miserable. But the only way for me to receive, the only way for me to get something from Him is by faith. It's the doorway of coming to God by faith. So here's the challenge this morning, and then we're done. 3 points. No, just kidding. Do not wait for ideal circumstances to speak the gospel to others. Those ideal circumstances might be, for the men, you get this, might be when your company kind of rolls over on you and gives you the worst day of the year at work. Right? Ideal circumstances might be when you're the one sick, when you're the one not feeling well, when things aren't going well for you. I hate that. Don't you hate that? God, I was in better shape. My mind was more crisp at other times. And God said, I don't need your mind. Right? Don't wait for ideal circumstances to speak the gospel to others. Ideal circumstances rarely happen. We may not have the discernment Paul has, and we don't, by the way. Maybe that's for our own good. It's not our responsibility to discern who has faith. Right? Because you know what I would want to do if I would just want to speak to this wedge. Yeah. You ever said this, thought this, you've seen somebody, you heard somebody think about like this. No, they'd never get saved. They'd never come to church. I probably told you the story before, but a fella got saved when he was 62 years old. 62 years old, he trusted Christ and was coming to our church. It's such a great blessing. I said, why don't you invite your dad? His dad was 82 years old. I said, invite your dad to church. He said, he won't come to church. I said, no, just invite him. He won't come to church. He won't even let my mom come to church when she was alive. He won't come to church. I said, just invite him. He said, no, he won't come. I just went over this. And I said, fine. I said, Mark, forget it. I'm going to go invite him. I don't really know him. I don't know why he had it. So I just invited him I invited him Baptist style. We had a potluck. And I said, hey, we're having a potluck. I'd like to invite you to come over to eat. I didn't even talk to him about coming to church. I said, I'd like to have you. We're having a potluck next Sunday. I'd like to come invite you to come over and have a meal with us. He shows up early. You know he wasn't a Baptist. I mean, he'd have made a good, you know what I'm saying. And had a crock pot in his hand. He came every Sunday after that. So sometimes I think it's good that we don't have that discernment. We would probably skip out and preach that man's funeral. And another fellow said while he was there, he put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I'm just saying, folks, God hasn't given us that discernment. It's not our responsibility to discern who has faith to believe, to be healed in that sense. It's our responsibility to preach the gospel to whoever may come so that they may have the faith, because the faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the presenting of the Word of God, the preaching of the Word of God is what we found there. And then the last thing is just this, in the challenge. When the Word of God comes to you, respond. Let's all stand. Father, I do pray that you would now bless your Word. Lord, I pray that you would take these thoughts this morning, Lord. We realize that it's really the key in the Christian life is faith. That is the key that opens the door. Certainly, Jesus Christ is the door, but Lord, we have no other way to enter in other than through faith. And Lord, it is the thing that we can give you. Trusting in you, believing you, and Lord, you get. And the reward of opening that door is so vast. Lord, I pray this morning you would stir hearts, Lord, that we might respond to you. Even now, Lord, whatever it is that you've spoken to hearts about, pray as the invitation opens, Lord, that your people would respond to their faith. Well, thank you now in Jesus' name. God has spoken to you. Pray that you come. I don't know what that need is for you. I don't know what God has spoken to you about. And God does things that I can't perceive. I tell you, if you've got the Spirit of God dwelling within you, He is crying out to you. Stir in your heart. Will you respond in faith?
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still. And with all who will trust and obey, trust and obey, for there's no other way than to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We'll be back tonight. I want to preach a message. We're going to be back in the book of Job and preach a message titled Forgers of Lies. Amen. That's the message for tonight. Like, what's all that about? Well, come on back. It sounds good. It sounds a little hairy. I'll tell you what, forgers of lies. Are you a forger of lies? Yeah, I don't want to be. Amen. So come back.